Our Hebrew lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19a. And it can be found in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible on page 24. In the large print, it's on page 30. Hear these words. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families on the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on it, top of it. He called that place Bethel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our next reading this morning is a responsive psalm reading, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, starting on page 854 and ending on 855 in the back of your hymnal. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whether shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even though your hand shall lead me and your right hand should hold me, if I say, let only darkness cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for the darkness is as light with you. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. It can be found on page 147 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 191 if you're using the large print edition. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groaning inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you to rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel lesson for today, as it has been, for many weeks and will be for many months, is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and following with 36 through 43. It's on page 14 of the New Testament in your pew Bible, or if you're reading the large print edition, it'll be on page 17 in the New Testament. Jesus continues with his parables. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Jesus answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I don't know if Mike planned it, but as I was listening to that song, there were echoes of Genesis, the reading, and of other parts of the Bible. My guess is that was not coincidence, but rather the work of the Holy Spirit. When Jane and Zach and I first moved to Cortez in southwest Colorado, I happened to notice one day a beautiful white, pink, trumpet-shaped flower that was growing on a vine in some farm fields. Well, I mentioned how lovely that flower was to a local rancher I had met at church. He harumphed at me and grumbled, "That's bindweed." Do you know bindweed? I take it from your laughter you do. Well, here's some information I got from the University of California at Davis website about bindweed. Field bindweed, also known as morning glory, was brought into the U.S. from Europe and Asia in the 1880s as a contaminant in farm and garden seeds. Field bindweed is one of the most persistent and difficult to control weeds in landscapes and agricultural crops. It has a vigorous root and rhizome system that makes it almost impossible to control with cultivation between desired plants or broad-scale tillage alone. In fact, that often spreads the infestation. The root system can reach depths of up to 20 feet. Its seed has a long dormancy and can last in the soil for up to 60 years. It has a climbing habit that allows the plant to grow up. In addition, rhizomes or rhizomes have the ability to penetrate through fabric, plastic, and other barriers. Field bindweed also is very drought tolerant and once established is difficult to control even with herbicides. If field bindweed is present, land is devalued and the weed precludes planting of many vegetable crops. Okay, well, that weed sure looked pretty to me. As Juliet said to Romeo, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Well, let us briefly consider the nature of weeds. Even our language speaks to our ambivalence about weeds. Take the name of the plant that I discovered in Cortez. Some people know it as morning glory. Others know it as bindweed. The names tell a story. Someone once told me that a weed was simply a plant that was growing where it was not wanted. Even in botany or horticulture, the terms are somewhat contradictory. A plant that is purposefully or accidentally introduced into a new environment is known as an exotic plant species. But those plants like the field bindweed are known as invasive species because of their aggressive nature. And those at the other end, the far end of the spectrum, are even known as noxious weeds. But think about two weeds that have actually become icons in the landscapes of the American West. Can you imagine a Western cowboy movie or poem or song that did not include the tumbling tumbleweed? Tumbleweed calitragus, also known as Russian thistle, came into this country accidentally with flax seeds about 1870. Romantic, perhaps, but a weed by any other name. Have you ever walked along the Colorado River or any of its tributaries or any Western river for that matter? If you have, you have likely encountered an exotic, highly invasive plant that has greatly changed the riparian ecosystem, the river ecosystem. Tamarisk, or salt cedar, Tamarix ramosissima, was introduced in the turn of the 20th century as an ornamental plant for windbreaks and as a way of reducing erosion along stream banks. Well, it works very well. It is now a dominant part of any wild river throughout the West, and it is a weed. Well, part of all this talk about weeds is simply because I'm fascinated by plants, and I thought that you might like to hear a little bit about some plants that you're probably familiar with. But I believe that this also has quite a bit of bearing on our understanding of this fascinating parable from Jesus. As with all parables, the intent of Jesus in telling this one was to get us to think more deeply and to gain a new perspective on God's love and God's kingdom. The irony of this story in Matthew is that the crowds who were surrounding Jesus and listening only heard a rambling story about wise farming practices. It wasn't until his disciples approached Jesus, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field," that Jesus offered this deeper meaning. Clearly and directly, this is a story of good people and bad people, the story of God's love and God's judgment by the Son of Man at the end of time. We are left with the fear and trembling of God's ultimate decision on Judgment Day regarding the fate of all of us, saint and sinners alike. But with that absolute terror of the weeping and gnashing of teeth that comes with eternal damnation and complete separation from God, we're also reminded of God's revolutionary economy and God's radical grace. The master of the field told his servants to let both the wheat and the weeds live on and grow to maturity. Think back to something else that Jesus said several chapters earlier in Matthew. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." A wheat plant will always be a wheat plant. A weed species cannot become anything other than the weed plant that was germinated from that seed. But God can change the heart of a sinner and bring him or her to salvation through the workings of the Holy Spirit. By the depths of God's grace, that bad seed can yet yield a good and fruitful plant. In God's kingdom, weeds can most certainly become wheat, a rose by any other name, transformation through holiness. True to the intent of Jesus telling this story, you might look at this parable in a different way, and you might hear the story with new ears. Perhaps Jesus also meant for you to look at the metaphor of that wheat field and see more simply just you, your own particular self, your own life. Maybe Jesus wants you to look closely at the good and the bad seeds of your own wheat field, your Christ-like attributes as well as your sinful nature, the ways that you have come close to the image of God as well as your shortcomings. You are generous and kind and hoping to live a life of discipleship with Jesus, but perhaps you are also prone to anger and gossip and judgment of other people and racism and sin. Always sin. The psalmist has it right. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows the good seed and the bad seed of your life. God knows the wheat and the weeds. And yet, God continues to provide sunshine and rain and all good blessings for you because God loves you so very much. God loves you so completely that God sent his only Son, Jesus, to live your life, to die your death, and to conquer once and for all the power of sin and death for all humankind. When Jesus ascended from this earth, he left for all of us the Holy Spirit of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with your Spirit that we are all children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Someone once told me that a weed was simply a plant that was growing where it was not wanted. I wonder if it has ever felt that way to you, that living as a Christian in this secular world makes you feel like a weed. Let me remind you of something that is absolutely true. In God's eyes, you are not bindweed, you are morning glory. You are not a weed, but rather you are wheat. And you are a child of God. God bless you, my friend. Amen.